This is exactly right.
Hello. We want to take a second to tell you about one of our favorite podcasts, Disgraceland. If you like music, pop culture, and true crime, this is the podcast for you.
Through host Jake Brennan's deeply researched storytelling, you'll hear all about the lives and crimes of musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jay-Z, the Rolling Stones, and so many more.
And now Disgraceland is expanding to include artists, actors, athletes, and other icons from Anthony Bourdain to Andy Warhol.
Full episodes are released every Tuesday. Check out Disgraceland on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
Goodbye.
Welcome
to My Favorite Murder,
the mini-sode.
That's Karen.
That's Georgia.
Oh, I wanted to tell you guys that we're now videoing, is the word, the hometown stories on Zoom that we're recording. We put a couple of them are free on the website, myfavoritemurder.com, and then a bunch of them are on the fan cult, so make sure to check those out.
You can see what we see while we're recording these mini-sodes.
That's
can you
right.
imagine?
And I've just rearranged my background. It's now my closet, so it's, you might have a seizure.
Yeah.
If you look.
I'll be the litmus test.
That's
if
right.
I don't have a seizure, it's going to be epilepsy safe.
So
I'll take that hit.
Colors and patterns. You want to go first?
Epileparinos? Yes, absolutely.
That's got to be it.
Yeah, I have to join that group. This is a hometown baby Jessica story.
Ooh.
Hi, MFM. Every time my mom tells my birth story, it's actually largely the baby Jessica story. My mom went into labor shortly after she heard the news that baby Jessica got stuck in the well. Nearly her entire labor consisted of my mom making a deal with God that she would sustain the pain of childbirth if he would keep baby Jessica alive.
Oh.
Lady, you're going to sustain the pain of childbirth anyway. I hate to tell you, you're having a baby. An hour after baby Jessica was free, I was born.
Wow.
So on top of all the people that actually saved baby Jessica, my mom also likes to give herself a little thanks. I love it. I remember getting a really bad ear infection when I was probably like 6 or 7
uh-huh.
and begging God that if he made it go away, I'd be a really good Catholic.
And it worked. So you still have that ear infection then?
It hurts so bad to podcast. Okay. I wrote in another actually heroic story of my mother a couple years ago. And since I'm talking about her and it's almost Mother's Day, here it is again. See, that's the kind of persistence we're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. One night in 1992, my mom was half asleep and heard a noise. From her bed, she could see into the dining room and a man climbing through the window. Before she could pick up the phone and call for help, the stranger was on top of her, addressing her by name and telling her if she wasn't quiet, he would kill her 3 children too.
Oh my God.
My mom, being 5'3 and almost 110 pounds, didn't have a lot of options, so she started talking. She convinced him to murder her in the woods away from the house where her children wouldn't find her. He agreed. In the slow transition off of the bed, the phone fell off the hook. The loud noise off the hook sound surprised him, and when he looked towards the noise, she pushed in his eyeball with her long 90s acrylic nails.
Holy fuck.
Yes, yes.
Push
for the
in
eye.
His eyeball.
She fucking took that. I like to imagine, because it was long and acrylic, that it had a tiny painting of a sunset on
yeah.
it. And she just jammed it into his eye. The now one-eyed intruder fled back out the door and into the woods, leaving zip ties, duct tape, and a knife. Soon after, she moved us to Southern California, aka as far away as she could. I slept through the whole thing and was only told years later when my mom was wine drunk on a school night.
Yeah.
Way to be.
Mom.
They never caught the man. But at the time, my mom had just broken up with an abusive med school graduate who had almost broken her arm and had threatened multiple times that he would kill her. Maybe he didn't hire anyone to kill my mom, but it sure as hell seems like he did.
Whoa.
Stay sexy. And if you're in, think twice before going into a radiologist.
Oh, my God.
Go moms, go women, XO Annie.
Wow.
Oh, shit, girl. That's horrifying.
That's crazy. I can't believe they couldn't find someone whose eye was fucking punctured.
Yeah.
Okay. That was fucked up. This one's called Pinnacle Lake Murder. Hi, Karen and Georgia. I was born and raised in the Pacific Northwest, just north of Seattle. My dad was a carpenter and built us a little weekend cabin on a lake in the foothills of Mount Pilchuck. It's best described as Sasquatch country. That's right. It rains a ton. There are massive cedar trees and everything is covered in thick moss. It's totally gorgeous. In 2006, I had just graduated college and was spending a good amount of time that summer at our cabin. We used to stay up late around the campfire on the edge of the lake telling ghost stories surrounded by the moss covered trees and the black forest beyond. Ooh. That same summer, just on the other side of a small mountain, a terrible, violent crime occurred. An elementary school librarian and her daughter, who had graduated from the same university I had just a few years before I did, decided to hike up to Pinnacle Lake, a day hike at the base of the mountain our cabin was near. When they arrived at the trailhead, there were a few cars in the parking lot, not uncommon for that time of year. They started up the trail, and that was the last time anyone saw them alive.
Oh, God.
Several hours later, another hiker found their bodies on the side of the trail. Reports were slim on details, but rumors travel fast in the northwest logging towns of the Cascades. The story we heard came from a hiker who had witnessed the scene. Around 2 p.m., there was loud noises that some hikers thought was thunder. They were shotgun blasts. A couple hundred yards up the trail in the bushes, the mother and daughter's bodies were found. Someone had shot both the women in the head at close range, and the scene was so gruesome they had to find their teeth among the carnage and send them to the forensics before they could be positively identified. There were no leads. There was no motive. There was no charges ever filed. The husband/father was cleared, and still to this day, they're searching for the murderer.
Oh, my God.
This person is still out there. We tell a lot of spooky stories around the campfire beside the lake, but this one is too real and way too close to home to be told after dark. Love the podcast, Charlie.
Yeah, that's so intense. Like, that's the one of the rarest kind of murders, right? Just a totally random stranger murder.
Stranger murder in the middle of the day, more with person is not alone.
Yeah, people around, you're there with somebody else.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the illusion of safety.
That's the person horrible. You want to catch the most because that person is clearly deranged.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Who would do such a thing?
Horrible.
Yeah.
The subject line of this one is, my ex-girlfriend witnessed someone disposing of a body. Wow. Hello, all. Let's jump right in. During my freshman year of college, my girlfriend at the time and I were sharing stories about our mutual love of true crime. Obviously, I asked her if she had any hometown murders, and boy, did she deliver. Georgie grew up in America, but she lived in Dublin, Ireland from ages 5 to 12. She and her mom lived in an apartment facing right across from Dublin's Royal Canal. One day... This is going to start sounding familiar to you. One day, while taking a walk alongside the canal, she saw two young women throwing a suitcase into the murky water and thought nothing of it because people threw trash into the canal all the time. They went on with their day. A couple weeks later, however, the sounds of blaring sirens and police activity late at night woke them up. Quickly running to the window to see what was going on, Georgie and her mom saw the police pull a very damp and heavy suitcase out of the water. The very next day, they found out that inside of the suitcase was part of the body of a brutally murdered man. Two sisters, called the Scissor Sisters by the media, decided to kill their mother's boyfriend by smashing his head in with a hammer and then stabbing him 27 times. The sisters then dismembered his body and disposed of it in the Royal Canal over several trips. Once Georgie and her mom heard the news break on the radio, they put together that it was the sisters that they had seen throwing the suitcase into the canal. Since the sisters had already been caught by the authorities, they kept him to themselves and eventually moved back to America. Couple years later.
God.
Stay sexy and don't dispose of a body in broad daylight. With love, Emily.
Wow. Yeah, I remember you doing that story. It was crazy.
Yeah, and it was like it's such a busy area.
Yeah.
That whole story is so disturbing because
didn't they bury the head in a park somewhere?
Yes, and then they kept going and digging it up because they were paranoid, and it's really, it's people gone over the edge.
Disturbing.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's called Brussels Sprouts. And it just starts, hey. A couple days ago, I was walking past my next door neighbor's door in my apartment, and I got mildly annoyed because I smelled cooking Brussels sprouts. My murder brain briefly thought dead body when I first smelled the bad odor, but I convinced myself that I was being crazy, mostly because my fiance always tells me I listen to too much murder stuff. Whatever, he doesn't get it. I get you. Fast forward to today, I walk past my neighbor's door towards the laundry room, and what do you know? More Brussels sprouts. A lot more. Rotten Brussels sprouts? Dead body. No, don't be crazy. But also, welfare check? So I did what any of us murder people would do and submitted an emergency maintenance request to do a welfare check on the resident in apartment 214. I chuckled as I submitted it because I couldn't tell if I was a concerned neighbor or a sociopath. Fast forward an hour and I head into the hall to go switch my laundry. I'd already forgotten about the Brussels sprouts. My jaw physically dropped as I was met with four police officers, two coroners, a gurney, and a body bag hanging outside of room 214. I must have audibly gasped because they all turned and met eyes with me. I pretended to scurry back into my apartment, but I poked my head out and eavesdropped, obviously, until one cop noticed my whole head hanging out of the door. I apologized and told them I was interested in the process. Quote. At this point, I'm pretty sure.
I just love your process.
Yeah, I just want to. At this point, I'm pretty sure they think the chick next door with the eye bags and hot pink cat pajama shorts is an actual murderer. Turns out it wasn't a cruciferous vegetable. My middle-aged neighbor had passed away of natural causes and had been decomposing next door for approximately 5 days. I can only think of the PTSD I secondhandedly instilled in my maintenance guy. Sorry, Brad.
Oh.
Stay sexy and trust your sniffer, Amy.
Ugh.
Brussels sprouts.
Well, also, I like that she was like, I'm either a concerned neighbor or a sociopath. But your sociopath is never in it because you're afraid for someone.
Right.
If that's something, you know, you can judge yourself for being nosy or something like that. But
it's more like
you're still concerned.
You're a concerned neighbor or you have an active imagination. But you still did something, which is
it's not like good. You weren't smelling anything and you're like, let's get into this apartment. There's good reason.
Yeah.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's madeincookware.com.
Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Here's my last one. My hometown, aka Swordfish Dinner and a Death on the Dance Floor. Hi, gang. This story is one of my all-time favorites, recounted to me so many times in my childhood, so I thought I'd share it with an audience who would appreciate it almost as much as I do. I grew up in an Italian-Australian house, and as a child, my parents would often feel obliged to attend a whole lot of community events, and what usually got them there was the food. One such event was the Pesce. Yeah. Well, it's spelt like Joe Pesci, and I assume that's fish.
Is that a fish? Yeah.
P-E-S-C-E. One such event was the Pesce Spada Night, a.k.a. Swordfish Night, an occasion mainly celebrated by fishing communities praising their bountiful haul. I wasn't at this particular event, but I've heard about the night so many times I can recount it in my sleep. This celebration started with the traditional carrying of the whole swordfish around the event hall while everyone clapped for a solid 20 minutes.
Oh my God, I want to be there so bad.
I want to go so bad. I would clap for a big old swordfish for more than 20 minutes.
It reminds me of when you go to temple and they at one point they carry the Torah around and everyone like kisses it or like touches it. It's like that.
It's same. Swordfish is the Torah of the Italian community. Okay. While they waited for their swordfish dinner, they did other Italian things, such as doing the tarantella, a very energetic and celebratory dance full of jumping and shouting. A really big older man sitting at the next table joined in with the dancing and revelry while my parents watched in amazement that a man of that description could exert himself like that without having a heart attack. Unfortunately, my parents spoke too soon.
Oh, my God.
He collapsed and died on the dance floor. Paramedics made their way through the hall to take the man in, you guessed it, a body bag. After he was gone, my parents told their friends that they understandably had lost their appetite and were leaving. To their friends' shock, before the Pesce Spada. The next day, the other couple told my parents that after they also left, but before dessert, di rispetto, out of respect, of course. Anyway, that's my hometown story. Thank you for the community of weirdos you've created and your open dialogue around mental health. Stay sexy and don't stay for the swordfish, Emily.
They didn't stay for the dessert, though. I mean, honestly, like if and when I go dancing in an Italian swordfish dinner party is
hell yeah
the way to go.
What your final moments are clapping for a swordfish.
Yeah.
And then dancing the tarantella. Goodbye.
Stay.
Let us go this way.
And I want you all to stay for dessert because that's what I would do. No, I wouldn't. Yes, I would. Maybe I would. Probably.
Stay for dessert and use my death as an excuse to drink a ton. Oh, I'm so sad. Oh, I'm so, you know, traumatized. Whatever.
Karen would have wanted it this way.
Karen wants me to get chip-faced.
Okay, this is my last one. My mom kept a bank robber's jacket, lighthearted. Dear Karen and Georgia, Steven, and furry companions. My sister Wendy and I have been saying for almost a year now that we need to sit down and write this out for you. And finally, I did. So here goes. When my mom was a young teenager, she says she was probably about 15, making this around 1972, in San Pedro, California. Her dad, my grandfather, Papa to me, won a brand new Ford Mustang convertible in a contest at the local shopping center.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Having two daughters still in school, a sports car didn't exactly make sense for their family. So he accepted the prize in the form of a station wagon instead. Such a dad thing to do. I love it. One day, sometime after, Papa went out to where he had parked at a store in Torrance, California, only to find that the car was missing. It turns out it had been stolen. He reported it stolen and the police told him he'd probably never to see it again. But after a few days, the police actually found it because the car thieves were caught after robbing a bank. There was a shootout! Exclamation mark. When the police called Papa to come get his stuff out of the car and file a loss with his insurance, he found there were actual bullet holes in the car.
Oh my God.
The police and Papa went through the car and among his things found a jacket, which they returned to my teenage mom. But it wasn't my mom's jacket. It wasn't her sister's jacket either. They quickly deduced that this jacket had been left behind by one of the bank robbers. The police didn't want it as evidence or anything. So my mom, being the OG murderino that she was, kept the jacket. Wore to school and everywhere, showing it off to all her friends for the next few years. How rad do you think it was? It's 1972. So it's probably the
brown corduroy.
Yeah.
Corduroy blazer.
She called it her bank robber jacket. Even though it was made for a larger person, a men's jacket, and used, she thought it was very cool, which it is. And to this day is still very psyched about having gotten to keep it and wear a piece of an actual crime. Yeah. We don't know what happened to the jacket, but it was likely lost in the fairly tragic, to our mom and aunt, incident where my grandma told someone to clear the junk out of their garage and hundreds of precious memories were either taken or hauled to the dump.
Mm-hmm.
Still, the story makes for a fun little anecdote. SSDGM, Nicolette plus Wendy and mom, Michelle.
Wow. That's so good.
Oh, I want a picture of her mom in 1972 in high school wearing that fucking men's oversized jacket.
You know what it made me think of, too, is in the 80s, we would get blazers at the thrift store and roll up the sleeves. Yeah. It'd be like a men's dark polyester blazer.
Yes.
But you'd wear it as your own jacket, but it would come down to like right above your knees.
And you'd have a little like baby doll dress on. So it was like, I'm a little baby, but also I'm a badass.
But I stole someone's jacket.
love it. Send us your stories at myfavoritemurder@gmail.com or on our website.
Keep sending these. Keep washing your hands. Keep staying home. Keep staying sexy.
And keep don't getting murdered.
Goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?